We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul and Giordana here, joined by Ben Folk. He's chairman of XL Energy, 3.6 million residential customers in eight states. He has been on the forefront of the clean energy transition last week, made a lot of news announcing that XL is going to become the first public utility to eliminate all carbon emissions in its electricity by 2050. Ben, welcome.
Well, glad to be here.
You've been busy.
Very busy.
Now, help me understand this. Eliminating all carbon emissions. My understanding is carbon neutral, that there may still be a fossil fuel component, but perhaps some new technologies to clean things up, carbon sequestration. Can you translate that for folks at home?
Well, like me, regular people who don't speak sequestration language,
you're not
Paul.
Regular. Yeah. You're not regular.
Well, I'll make it easier to understand. We want to have zero carbon emissions by 2050. And right now, we've already reduced carbon emissions by 35% since 2005. We have plans across all of our eight states that'll get us to 60% by 2030, but we wanted to do more. So by 2050, we want to be at zero carbon, and by 2030, we want to have an 80% carbon reduction. And what I will tell you is that to get to that zero carbon goal, we'll have to see some technologies develop and become commercially viable. But
like what?
Well, there's, you know, I think it's important that we don't try to pick that technology today, but that we let it develop. We nurture technologies. And then when the economics suggest they're the right one, we go full steam ahead with it.
Fair enough.
And if you look at the pace of technologists just in the last 10 years, I'm confident we're going to get there. I know how we can get there by 2030 with the 80% carbon emissions goal. Using the technologies that are available today.
And that's to 2005 levels of emissions?
We use 2005, Paul, as the baseline.
So is this being done out of altruism? Is this somehow conforming? I mean, when I talk about climate change from time to time, people say, well, they're pushing a political agenda. Does this have anything to do with trying to be on the right side of certain politicians, or is this market-driven? Is this going to be good for consumers and ultimately lower costs?
Well, Paul, the man's the CEO of a giant billion-dollar company. It better make you guys money or you're going to have to answer to somebody.
Well, we have investors, too. And so I would say there's three things driving this. First of all, I mean, as we've read the reports, the science on climate change suggests that it's getting more dire, not better. Second, I think it's really important to deliver what your customers want. That's a good business decision. Our customers want a cleaner energy product. They don't want to pay much more for it, and we understand that. And then finally, I think if you do it right, there's an opportunity for us to invest and drive opportunities that are good for our shareholders. But the key is, and really what makes all this possible, is the incredible developments in technology that make renewables affordable. In fact, we've had a program now where we are actually investing in renewables, particularly wind here in the upper Midwest, and replacing fossil fuels with that. And when you look at the recovery that we receive for the wind farms, it's actually less than the fuel costs that we displace. So we can make the environment greener and we can save you money. And that is a winning proposition.
One of our listeners asks about baseload power.
Yeah.
How do you envision this rolling out between natural gas and nuclear, realizing that solar and wind are variable, and yet with energy storage, with these big batteries, I mean, we can store much of that energy to use on cloudy days or days when there's not much wind. But how do you foresee the evolution of natural gas and nuclear specifically in terms of baseload?
Yeah, I think you're going to need – first of all, what we're seeing is an economic transition from coal to natural gas across the entire country. And that has to do with the technology that's been brought to natural gas. It's not without its controversy, and it's fracking or horizontal drilling. But that's made that transition economic. And that's coal versus natural gas is a 50% carbon reduction. We're going to have natural gas on our system for a while. But I see us accelerating the retirement of our coal plants or at least using them differently. That gets us to that 2030 goal. Renewables will be the biggest energy source on our system in just a few short years.
How do you use coal plants differently?
Well, you don't have to. There's two things you can do with a coal plant. You can not run it as often, or you could run it seasonally, or you could actually shut it down.
So I have a question. I mean, fossil fuels have been getting subsidies for over a century. The wind subsidies at a federal level are going away. They're rolling back, I believe, as of next year. Take away all subsidies, let the markets work, may the best technology win. Is that your attitude? Is that what you're putting into practice?
Well, I think it's a very good question. And here's the situation. The federal subsidies are called production tax credits, and they start to phase out. So we wanted to lock in for Minnesotans and our customers those PTCs, they're called, before they expire. And that's why we have one of the most aggressive wind programs in the country. It is the most aggressive wind program in the country. So we'll give you, our customers, the benefit of that. And then I think what happens is the technology itself will recover and we'll get back to the prices that we're locking in today. But it'll take a little time to get there. Solar is another story. The decline cost curve the declines we're seeing with solar are even more remarkable in the last 10 years than in wind. And so I believe that solar will quickly recover from the loss of the federal tax credits, which, by the way, matches up nicely for us when we already have a couple coal plants expected to retire, because solar has more of a value when it comes to planning capacity so that we keep energy always reliable. And that's a promise that I'll make to your listeners and to all of my customers. We want to lead this clean energy transition, but we're never going to sacrifice affordability or reliability. And if we do it right, if we stay disciplined on the goal, I am positive that technology is going to be the enabler to allow us to accomplish the things that I'm talking about today.
Does XL have solar farms and wind farms? And also, do you own your own coal plants? I know the president, this is sort of a two-part question, I'm sorry, Ben. The president's really concerned about losing jobs in the coal mines, and he wants to bring coal back. I'm hearing the opposite coming from you. So is there a way to transfer that skill set of the coal miner, people who worked in coals, to solar and wind farms? And is that a part of your plan?
Well, let's talk about the first part of your question is we own some of the wind farms and we contract out for some of the others. We own all the coal plants in our system. We do have some contractual agreements for gas plants. We recognize that, it's great to lead in the clean energy transition, but when it's your job and it's your community that's losing a plant and the associated tax base that comes with that, because we are the largest property tax player in Minnesota, that's important. But the good news is we've got a track record of working with our communities. Becker would be a great example where we worked with legislators, got the replacement generation built on site so the tax base stays strong, and we doubled down on economic development efforts for the community. So that helps the community. For our employees, we give them a long lead time. We're having a lot of natural attrition in our business. So if they want jobs, almost all of them have been able to find a job within the Xcel Energy system.
Ben, what would you say to perennial skeptics who say, well, maybe this is a PR stunt or there are always skeptics out there. If you make a bold move, as XL has done, how do you answer the skeptics who are always looking for a downside? You still think this is going to pay off for consumers over the long haul when it comes to lowering price, regardless of the impact on cleaner air, lowering climate risk, and even lowering liability, perhaps legal liability for XL and shareholders down the road? What would you say to those people?
Well, I'm happy to walk people through the math. And what's happened with technology, again, is what's enabling this. So just go back 10 years ago. 10 years ago, wind was at $65 a unit. Mm-hmm. Today, it's $20 or less. Solar, big solar now I'm talking about, which is the most efficient form of solar, that was at $160 a megawatt or a unit. Now it's $30 to $45, depending on where you are in the country. That's remarkable. And if I compare that to fossil fuels, it competes head on. When the federal tax credits roll off, we might have a little bit of a pause before it gets back to that full competitiveness. But right now, I'm locking in those prices and saving you money. So think about it as a deeply in the money hedge against natural gas volatility in the future.
And against variability when it comes to OPEC, the price of oil, the price of natural gas.
Gas is very low today. It's hard to believe it can get much lower.
Ben, I just want to – we're speaking, by the way, with Ben Folk, who's the CEO of XL Energy, and we're grateful for your time. Thank you, sir. Just some feedback from our listeners. Tom on Twitter writes, I buy wind power from XL Energy and charge my electric vehicle. I'm saving money in the long run. You sure you didn't write that text, Paul?
I did not. I did not.
It wasn't a plant. But there's another question. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. Someone said he's not going to shut down our King plant in Stillwater, is he?
Well, let me tell you what the process is for that. We work through our commissions, and we are making a major resource plan filing next year, and we'll give the commission a series of options that they can consider. I will tell you, I think to achieve the goals I mentioned, we need to keep our nuclear plants running at least to the end of their license life. I'm glad your listener charges up with wind source. I'm excited about that, too. I do it as well, but I think the real opportunity is we get cleaner and cleaner and have less and less carbon on our system, applying that clean energy product to the transport sector, like your listener is, mm-hmm. It's not only good for the environment, it's good for the pocketbook.
Good job, Tom.
There's a return on investment. I mean, I see it. I drive an electric vehicle and I charge late at night. I'm an XL customer and our electric rates have not gone up magically. Thank you for that, Ben. And I'm seeing a return on investment. Last question.
I have one more.
Well, okay. Second to last question.
Okay, Jordan.
You talk about this, too, as something of an insurance policy when it comes to personal responsibility, corporate responsibility, just in case those pesky scientists are right and the climate is, in fact, changing. You've looked at the data. Is there any doubt in your mind?
Well, there's no doubt that climate change is happening. I think we can have a debate about how much man is influencing that. But you talk about the insurance policy, Paul. I think you're hearkening back to the Reagan days when the ozone layer was the issue. And there were most scientists said we got to do something. There was a few that said you don't have to, and policymakers were mixed. The Reagan administration, to their credit, said, well, let's take out an insurance policy in case the scientists are right. If that insurance policy is at little or no extra cost, I'm not sure why we wouldn't do it, and I really hope what I can do in my role is to try to bridge some of this political divide, and let's just focus on the issue and let's be pragmatic about it because I think we can solve it if we work together.
Market-driven solutions versus federal mandates.
You've got it.
I lied. I have about a million more questions, but I know you're short on time. The XL Energy vehicles we see driving around, are they electric currently, and when will they all be electric?
They're increasingly going to be electric. I mean, we want to – just like you would make your own decisions, you know, if you have a car today, maybe your next car will be electric, but you still want to, you know, get your economic value out of your existing car. So look for that transition to happen over time, and we're already started with it.
Thank you for answering Paul's very high-level questions and my simpleton ones. I'm very grateful.
There was no simple. They were all good questions. I appreciate the time to be here.
Ben, there's a lot of talk. I'm going to get the last
question. Go, go nuts.
Sorry.
And then ask him what else we missed.
A price on carbon may be a political non-starter, at least in today's hyper-partisan environment. But I would argue that there's already something of a price on carbon in the marketplace. Do you agree with that logic or not?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to depend. I mean, clearly businesses and communities want to see more and more carbon free. So as somebody that's trying to keep your customers happy, we want to bring that to them. Our states recognize the value of carbon free. I hope they continue to recognize the value of all carbon free resources, including nuclear. But we have a good process for that, and we do value that. And again, I won't bet against technology, and technology is our friend in this case, and I think we're going to be able to do remarkable things at price points that I would not have been here 10 years ago, perhaps even 5 years ago, saying it was economically possible.
You've been surprised, right?
Absolutely.
Ben Folk, CEO, Chairman, XL Energy, thank you for joining us on CCO. Really appreciate your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you both.
Thank you, Ben. Bet. And thanks to your staff for making this happen. I know it takes a lot to get you in here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We appreciate them. It's also 4:25 on CCO. Paul and I will be back in just a minute.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.